Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This programme looks at some of the best cinema to emerge from Japan. I hope you enjoy the show. Mention Japanese cinema to most people and they'll think of samurai warriors shouting at each other and lots of sword fights. But this is rather like saying all Englishmen carry umbrellas and wear bowler hats. One important thing to bear in mind is something that was pointed out to me recently. Japan and the UK have a lot in common. The weather is very similar, with them both being a group of islands very close to a large landmass. And because of their positions, they both have a strong sense of identity, and their culture is steeped in traditional values. So it's not surprising to find that this is reflected in their cinema. The most famous Japanese director is Akira Kurosawa, but you'd be surprised to discover that there's a large number of very gifted directors who've made a great number of fantastic films. Obviously, unless you understand Japanese, you'll have to watch them reading subtitles, which can put a lot of people off. Perhaps they should have adopted the Italian habit of dubbing their films into English, but why should they? They're Japanese, for Christ's sake. My first suggestion is Woman of the Dunes by Hiroshi Teshigahara, made in 1964. It's an allegorical story about an inquisitive entomologist who, whilst walking on the beach, climbs down a ladder into a pit where a house sits. After looking around for insects, he finds that the ladder's been taken away, and he's stuck there with a woman whose job is to shift sand. It's simple, beautifully shot, and a great example of how something so simple can be so profound. Teshigahara made 13 feature films, and all of them were worth a look. Toru Takemitsu wrote the score. Next up is a personal favourite of mine, The Flavour of Green Tea Over Rice by Yasujiro Ozu. Ozu was a wonderful director. His trademark was to use a still camera and have the action come to the camera and into frame. This technique quickly draws you in. His films deal with the human condition as seen through the eyes of simple people. And before you know it, he's involved you in the lives of his characters. He was an acute observer of Japanese life and the constant dilemma between tradition and change. Bear in mind that due to Japan losing the Second World War in such a brutal fashion, it left a scar on their national psyche, and it's constantly referred to in their post-war cinema. Mikio Narusa left a long list of great films from before the Second World War until the 1960s. He's credited with creating many roles for women in central characters, and his social dramas tended to be less humorous than Ozu's, but just as gripping. Hideko Takamine starred in many of his films, and in Floating Clouds, she plays a lonely woman trying to come to terms with a Tokyo in ruins after the war. Next up is Kenji Mitsuguchi and his masterpiece Ugetsu Monogatari, a tale of a lifetime, set in 16th century Japan. It has a bit of everything in it, including one of the most breathtaking scenes ever to be captured on camera, a boat appearing and disappearing in the mist over a lake. It's an allegory of life during wartime and takes some beating, but like many Japanese directors, Mitsuguchi hardly made a dud. Thank you. Yasuzo Masumura was regarded as a maverick director, and he preferred to deal with the vagaries of individual lives rather than the observation of Japanese society. He did this across various genres, and in A Wife Confesses, he certainly gave us a great film. Ayako Waikayo plays the beautiful wife of an unpleasant man who's responsible for his death whilst they are climbing on a mountain. Most of the film plays out in a courtroom with flashbacks, rather like an American film noir, but this is distinctly Japanese and compelling because of that. Kaneto Shindo made 49 films, and one of his most memorable is called The Naked Island. It deals with the lives of a family of fishermen who are the only inhabitants of an island. Their lives revolve around trips several times a day to collect fresh water from a neighboring island to keep their crops alive. It's remarkable how such a simple film can become so engrossing. His last film, Postcard, made when he was 98, amazingly, was so good it won several Japanese film awards and has this wonderful opening titles theme. Thank you. Keizuki Kinoshita made 24 Eyes in 1954. And in my opinion, it's one of the best ever films to come out of Japan. It's the story of a schoolteacher, played by Hideko Takamine, who oversees the education of 12 of her pupils from primary through to high school. The director's touch is very graceful, and although the film is over 2.5 hours long, it feels much shorter. Interestingly, it begins before the war and ends after it's over, when the population is unsure of its standing in the world. It's beautiful and quite remarkable. You may be aware of another of Japan's directors because of David Bowie. He starred in Merry Christmas, Mr. Lawrence in 1983, which was directed by Nagisa Oshima and also starred another musician, Ryuichi Sakamoto. It's pretty good and deals with the cultural divide between the British POWs and their Japanese captors. Lawrence van der Post, author of the source novel, was very satisfied with the way the movie turned out, which is quite a rare occurrence. Sakamoto's score was very unusual. Yoshishige Yoshida rose to prominence during the Japanese New Wave of the 1960s after he worked with Ozu for many years. He married Mariko Okada, one of the most beautiful Japanese actresses, and made a string of films for her to star in. Japan was at that time, and still is, a male-dominated society, and many of his films have a female protagonist for precisely that reason. He said, I quote, "Women are oppressed, discriminated against, and rejected. They are outside the thinking of society or the state." In this way, he took an objective view of the male-oriented Japanese society by taking the side of women. Any of his films with Mariko Okada are well worth a look, like Woman of the Lake in 1966, in which a woman allows her boyfriend to take nude pictures of her, but they get into the wrong hands and she's blackmailed. Masaki Kobayashi made the epic The Human Condition from 1959 until 1961. It's the story of Kaji, played by Tatsuya Nakadai, a young socialist and pacifist trying to survive the war years in Japan. It's a mind-boggling 9 hours and 39 minutes long and was released in 3 parts. David Shipman, a film critic of the highest renown, described it as unequivocally the greatest film ever made. Well, if you've got the time, it's worth the effort.
Thank you.
And finally, I must recommend a Kurosawa film that isn't as famous as most of his other work. It's called Dersu Uzala, made in 1975, but in Russia. It's the story of an explorer sent by the Russian army to Siberia to map the area in the 1900s, and it's based on the writings of Vladimir Arsenev, a soldier from that time. He makes friends with a seasoned local hunter who becomes his tracker. Kurosawa had been wanting to make this film for close to 30 years, but never thought he'd be given permission to make it in Siberia. I've seen this movie described as slow, serene, beautiful, and gripping. Not to be missed. Thanks for listening, and I hope you're tempted to take a look at some of the films I've just described. Japanese cinema has a lot to offer, I promise you.